This is Bob Fitrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. This is Dr. Bob bringing you The Other Side of the News. I'm here once again at 102.1 and 98.3 FM, and we're going to dissect the ongoing saga of ESNS. You know, those very special technicians and vote counting company that emerged with a secret, unverified, untested software patch just prior to the election. And Jerry Bellows in the studio with me, chief researcher and writer for the Columbus Free Press. You can read them at thefreepress.org. Jerry, welcome to The Other Side of the News.
Thanks for having me on again, Bob.
And we're expecting some breaking Other Side of the News here, the kind of stuff you won't hear in the Wolf Family newspaper, a.k.a. the Columbus Dispatch.
Yes. Okay, so let's sort of review the ESNS patch saga. It came to our attention right before the election that Election Systems and Solutions had charged the Secretary of State $20,000 to install special election night reporting software on the central county tabulators in an unknown number of counties in Ohio, any number up to 39. And, I mean, you know this very well because you attempted to seek injunctive relief against the installation of that patch in court. And maybe you want to tell us a little bit about your case, and then I'll tell you what I have discovered with my recent research.
Well, again, our case, which initially sought a TRO, was essentially challenging the legality of the patch, arguing, of course, that as a candidate for Congress, as the Green Party candidate in the 3rd District, is you can't rely on a fair vote count when you're installing uncertified and untested software patches at the last minute. So that's what that lawsuit's about. It still remains in state court, and we may be pursuing it depending on what we found out. But one of the reasons it was dismissed, and we dismissed the federal court case, of course, was the fact that they claimed they had a letter from the Election Assistance Commission allowing them to provide this uncertified, untested patch to add it to the machines.
Yeah. Actually, the Secretary of State's office went ahead and first told its own Board of Voting Machine Examiners that they felt like it would not need to be tested because these were quote-unquote de minimis changes and that the software wasn't involved in the tabulation or communication of votes.
There wasn't the EAC on the record saying there was no such thing with patches as de minimis changes?
Yes, but the EAC then went ahead, and I'll get to that in a minute. I've been trying to get comment from the EAC on a number of quotes that I had gotten out of them from a source. I went back and spoke with their, tried to speak with their press officer, who dodged me, wanted my questions in writing, and then didn't answer for a week. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I got in touch with their head of testing, who gave me the saga, which was Matt Masterson, who's the chief technology officer for the Ohio Secretary of State, got in touch with the Elections Assistance Commission, first by phone, and said, is the software okay? And they had a number of phone conversations, and based on those conversations, the Federal Election Assistance Commission said, yeah, this software is okay. And you can go ahead and install it because it's not involved in actual vote tabulation. And I went ahead and I had a rather thorough conversation with Brian Hancock, who is the head of testing for the Federal Elections Assistance Commission. And what I discovered in the course of that conversation was that the Ohio Secretary of State's office represented one situation to its Board of Voting Machine examiners, another to the judge in your case, a third to the public at large, and a fourth to the Federal Elections Commission.
Well, let's go through one, two, three, four. What are you claiming that Matt Masterson, not to be mistaken for the long time, Card Shark of yesteryear.
Card Shark, gunfighter, and boxing reporter, Matt Masterson.
Okay, I've got more respect for him. But not Matt Masterson. What did Matt Masterson tell people?
Matt Masterson told the federal, since it will go in chronological order, Matt Masterson calls the Federal Elections Assistance Commission, tells them that we have this software that'll convert file types and that we need to do that, that it isn't involved in the tabulation or communication of votes, and we're only going to install it in 11 counties.
Was he carrying a small Derringer?
No, he was not. Okay. He was on the phone. Well, I mean, now, to dissect this, the software does in fact communicate votes, and this led, and pointing that out to Mr. Hancock over at the Elections Assistance Commission, he said that wouldn't matter because we don't test communication software. We don't even, I was like, you don't? He goes, we don't have a standard. There's no federal standard for testing software that would communicate rather than simply
tabulate. That's why they like de minimis, since they have a non-existent standard. That's why they would allow a de minimis change that's actually a possible maximus change to go forward, because they have no standard.
Right. Well, he told me, one, I wasn't told this, and two, it doesn't matter. Because we don't have a way to test it.
So this is the regulatory agency that's testing the non-transparent, partisan-owned hardware and software in the e-voting industry that we trust our votes to. You're telling me they had no standard for this?
They have no standard for testing communication software. They don't test whether or not, if the software communicates votes from one machine to the other over the internet or over the phone line, they have no standard for testing that for accuracy.
Okay. Well, no wonder we're going to move forward with smartphone and internet voting.
Right, because there's no standard for testing.
And in fact, the bill, the son of Havaville, as you're aware, one of the provisions is that the state laws cannot supersede or exceed the federal law, which is pretty much non-existent.
Right, the federal standards are weaker than Ohio's standards. They went and found out the federal standards, found out that their own standards were stronger, told themselves that they didn't have to follow their own standards, and then installed the software on more machines than they told the feds they were going to install it on.
And they claimed it was experimental, did they not?
Right.
And that means you don't have to test it, don't have to certify it, and can put it on as many machines as you want.
Right.
Or maybe not that last part.
But it had a name, it wasn't experimental. The sort of circular logic of it's experimental because it doesn't need to be tested, and it doesn't need to be tested because it's experimental.
Uh-huh.
Right, you just call it, I mean, in the real world, where real people deliver real software products to real consumers, mm-hmm. you do not test software in a production environment. That's called an alpha test or a beta test, and the customer knows that they are alpha testing or beta testing, and frankly speaking, for alpha testing, they test it, you pay them to test it, and for beta testing, they get the product for free.
Couldn't this just have been a experimental theta test? Been around a while?
Well, I mean, perhaps the software industry as concerned with our elections is different than the rest of the software industry.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be. For instance, the whole point of the software as claimed was to change an XML file into a comma-separated values file, which is a standard output from any spreadsheet. The question becomes, why couldn't your software do that from its inception? That's just...
Or the issue raised by the National Security, retired National Security Agency expert, why wouldn't you just put it on the Secretary of State's machines? Why would you go down and custom code it in at least 25 counties?
Well, we don't know how many counties. It could have been as many as 39. They said 25, but somewhere else they said 20.
39.
They told the feds 11.
They told the judge.
They told the judge 20, I believe.
Maybe 25 in the paper. Maybe 39 in the contract.
Well, I think this will be really good for your case, Bob, because they've told so many people so many different things. I'm sure the judge is very interested in knowing that he was told the truth. I mean, I have the feeling that is Judge Marbury?
Well, that's the federal case. We're with Surratt now in the state court.
Okay. That judge is really not going to care what you told anybody else, but he's going to want some documentation to know that he was told the truth. I mean, I don't know, but if I was in the business of going around lying to judges, I'm pretty sure they'd be pretty angry with me. They kind of like that honesty thing.
Well, you said he said four different things. So he said this to the EAC, the Election Assistance Commission, that can assist you unless you want actual standards. What was the second story he told?
Well, he told, the second story that he told was that he told essentially that the Secretary of State's office tells its own board that they don't need to test it. The Secretary of State's office tells the public that it's not involved in communicating votes, even though it is.
The third story.
And then the fourth story, they tell the judge, oh, it doesn't matter and everything's fine.
No wonder they wanted to act it out with sock puppets and an overhead projector. Because they're not being truthful on this stuff. Four different stories.
Wait,
as
what?
Outlined.
Sock puppets and an overhead projector? What is
it? We're trying. Well, you know, they weren't real clear. They, you know, it's like, let's pantomime, and you kind of had to guess exactly what are they saying here, because their story was changing so often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's because the story is that, and when we go to look at that software, if we ever get our hands on it, I think we'll find that somebody will be guilty of destruction of evidence, because that software will have been deleted by a glitch. Somehow.
A glitch? Could it not been like alpha, you know, software that the code eats itself? The custom code. But you're saying it wasn't really alpha and it wasn't experimental.
No, there's nothing alpha or experimental about it. And if it was, you need your head examined testing experimental software in a general election. You couldn't test it during the primaries. You couldn't just test it. You couldn't have put garbage data into the county tabulators and just seen if it was transmitted accurately. All of these things could have been done other than let's cram this patch in right before the election.
So what do you suspect? What could a patch like that do, at least hypothetically?
Well, hypothetically speaking, if I was out to steal an election, the probably most effective way to steal the election would be to modify the results exactly where that patch was installed. I would modify the results at the county tabulator level, and I would flip a certain number of votes so that I change the vote total within the margin of within the margin of error of the unadjusted exit poll. That's, and so I would need to know what that exit poll was going to be or be reasonably close to it. So that software would have to go in right before the election so that it had an accurate number, or at least I would have to communicate an accurate number for that exit poll to that software. And then I would let it change just a few votes, just enough to get my candidate over the top. And if I'm doing a large number of counties in a state, in a statewide election, my candidate could still lose. I just have to have the scales balanced when it all aggregates.
This is WCRS Community Radio, Columbus, 102.1, 98.3 FM. You're listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Dr. Bob Fetrakis. I'm here with Jerry Bello, chief researcher and writer for the Columbus Free Press. You can read his work on freepress.org and on Op-Ed News, among other places. We're talking about that mysterious ESNS, uncertified, untested patch from a partisan company put on right before the election. New information is coming out. So you actually called the EAC and talked to a couple people that work there.
I talked to Brian with a Y, Whitener. He's their press person. He didn't really want to talk to me. He wanted to talk to me until I told him who I was and what I wanted to know, and then he wanted it in writing, and we never spoke again. Mm-hmm. However, I managed to get through to Brian Hancock eventually, and he got back to me and spoke with me, and was actually honest. But we still have no... The person who's supposed to be talking to me never answered my questions.
And what are those questions?
What were your communications with the Ohio Secretary of State's office? What did they tell you? How was the software represented to you? What are your standards? Does that qualify as experimental? Does the EAC have a definition of experimental? And experimental means nothing to the EAC. Experimental, for the purposes of election machines, is something that only exists in weird Ohio election law.
Uh-huh. So Ohio election law. And the strange part where you may experiment. And if you experiment, it doesn't have to be tested or certified. But if you called it experimental, you wouldn't have to test it or certify it. And if it's not certified and tested, it must be
experimental.
Thank God I understand and I'm licensed to practice law in Ohio.
As long as it's not election law, because then it's a license to scratch your head and wonder what the hell is going on here.
And what is going on, Jerry, from your perspective?
From my perspective, there was an attempt to steal the general election in Ohio.
Jerry Bello on the record saying there was an attempt in 2012 to steal the election. Apparently, Karl Rove didn't get the memo, Jerry.
Let me rephrase that. There was preparations to make an attempt. I think you actually have to pull the trigger.
But why didn't somebody send Karl Rove the memo when he was melting down there on Fox TV at about 11:20 or so on election night? And did he not look, for the record, you're here now, did he not look like a mafia don who had bet on a fight that was fixed and the fix didn't come in and he was just pleading? He knew the fall was coming.
No, he looked like a skinned over stuffed Thanksgiving turkey, but he did look confused, that's for sure.
So Karl Rove, dazed and confused, pleading, the numbers are coming, the numbers are coming.
No, he looked like he expected something different than what he got. That, of that I have no doubt. And I don't think that it's just Karl Rove not living in our reality, which he admits he does not.
Why should he? Hasn't he said that with that kind of power, you can create your own reality, you can create your own mythology?
And perhaps that's why he's on a news station called Fox, where they create the reality in a fair and balanced way 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
But even Fox has told him to step back somewhat because of those events that occurred election eve. So how do you interpret, again, what was going on election night?
I believe that Karl Rove expected the fix to be in. I believe that he was caught off guard when the software did not execute for whatever reason. I suspect that the software was not triggered, specifically because of the scrutiny that we had brought to bear on it. I mean, you had a judge that was, he said, come back after the election with evidence, and I think that that's what sank it. Because you would have come back with evidence, and that would have kicked the apple cart over.
We're speaking again with Jerry Bello, the Spomf Tragus. You're listening to the other side of the news, and that other side of the news you don't often hear about is a land where partisan, non-transparent mega corporations secretly count our vote and then claim it's proprietary software
that you can't look at. I mean, here's the best part. When we had our witness there, you know, an almost 40-year veteran of the National Security Agency, a very, very, very good computer scientist, says he doesn't trust this software worth a lick. And they're like, well, have you examined the software? Well, he's not allowed to because it's proprietary.
It's secret.
It's too secret. The software, you don't know anything about the software because it's too secret for you to look at, NSA.
But he did point out you could download four versions of different softwares.
Actually, that was
me. On the Secretary of State's commercial. I think you said three in writing. He actually said four at the trial. So I was going to get you guys in a room and see who was right.
I only went to the first page of Google. I'm sure that if I kept scrolling.
It was the NSA. He went through all 250,000 pages.
Yeah, I know.
Until he found the secret Chinese software.
Yeah, I'm sure that if I scrolled further, like...
Well, he actually went so far as to suggest that the $19,000 may have been an unnecessary payment. So I'd like to see the Inspector General in the state of Ohio do his job and see if ES&S, in conjunction with Secretary of State John Husted, ripped off the taxpayers by putting on software that we could have gotten for free and going in and custom coding this software and charging the taxpayers for this money for stuff that could have been downloaded for free. True or not, Jerry?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, at a bare minimum, that crime was definitely committed. I mean, that's a crime called fraud that was committed.
Unlawful interest in a public contract. Where is the Inspector General when you need him?
And then I'll go a step further. If they really, really felt like they had to buy custom software, put out an open bid. I'd have wrote that.
But wasn't this real important late? This contract was on September 19th, 2012. And then the lawyers had to get together, and there's nothing better than lawyers getting together and calling it experimental without bringing in the IT guys.
I mean, to tell you the truth, Bob, any competent programmer could have written that software in 2 days.
But they could have probably downloaded it in 2 seconds.
They could have downloaded it, but I mean, if you really felt like you needed your own special custom software that does the same thing that the free software does, but it's yours and it's special, you could have hired somebody to do it and they would have been done in 2.5 days. It would have been untested and experimental as opposed to the, oh yeah, free to download, been tested, not experimental, free software that you, yeah, could just get off the internet.
And going back in history, in the 2004 election, which I believe was stolen, I believe the exit polls were right. I believe Karl Rove and the Bush family, which, by the way, is our first CIA family to ever run for president, father and son, both elected. And one of the things about that election is in 44 or so counties, Triad, and in other counties, ES&S, the same company, went around right before the election and brought in these last-second software patches. In 2002 in Georgia, Bev Harris has written about this, the fame file robbed Georgia, and the president of the company himself, Bob Urosevich, came in and put in special software patches, leading to one of the most unbelievable election results in modern history, with, again, Senator Cleland, instead of winning by double digits, loses in a huge, huge upset. And again, software patches, custom coded, last second, untested, unverified. Same pattern. Should we be worried about this? What should the standard be?
The standard for voting should be that you write your selections on the ballot with a pencil. You fold the ballot and you put the ballot in an envelope. And you put the envelope in a glass box. And then at the end of the day, they dump the glass box on a table and they open the envelopes and they count the votes in front of everybody right at the polling place with anybody who wants to watching. That's my unbreakable standard of accuracy for having an election. Count my vote in front of me. Do it now.
Jerry Bello suggesting we ought to have full transparency. Why can't we have transparency with these e-voting machines?
When you can see electrons, you can have transparency.
Okay. What if John Husted claimed he could see electrons? What about old people?
I'll make him see electrons.
What about John Husted essentially saying that old people like shiny new machines?
It's not a matter of liking things because they're shiny.
And new.
Raccoons and ravens like shiny new things also. But, like, it's not a matter of I prefer this because it's a consumer convenience. Voting isn't a consumer act. It's an act of civic responsibility. And if civic responsibility, if a person's responsibility to a society in a democratic society is, let's face it, mildly inconvenient, I'm not crying about it. I like shiny new machines too.
Are you a Luddite?
No, I'm a computer scientist by training. I like shiny new machines. I love shiny new computers. I just know enough about them to know that they can be manipulated by people like me.
Are you saying these computers can be programmed?
Yeah, there's a whole profession based around it.
Okay. If that's obvious, how do you think we got in a situation, Jerry, you're a computer programmer type guy, where essentially partisan private companies in a non-transparent way program these computers for us?
Well, I mean, first you have the 2000 election, and it just, mm-hmm. you have these
bad punch cards,
right, and all a bad real world system, and they think the solution is to make it all electronic. And the reality was the 2000 election was a mess because it was deliberately designed to fail. It was designed to fail and be stolen, and to also put in a place to make the next theft even easier. I mean, the theft that took place in 2000 was horrible, or 2004 was horrible and ham-fisted. The one that could have happened this time around would have been actually rather elegant.
All right. The final word from Jerry Bello.
I would have done it that way.
Who helped stop an eloquent.
Elegant.
Elegant theft. And it would have been eloquent as well, the acceptance speech that Mitt Romney had wrote. Thanks for being on the other side of the news. So it looks like next time around, they're going to rush us into even newer technology, smartphones and internet voters. What's the last word on those, Jerry?
You'll never have a real election again.
Peace.